It's November the 5th, 1956, at 1:45 p.m. From my room up here, I'm looking down onto Jesus Meadow, where the demonstrators are gathering for their march to the Guildhall. Some of them have even begun to chant, I think. Yes, first-year freshers by the look of them, or they wouldn't be wearing their college scarves. If I open the window, you can probably hear them yourself. I feel like shouting back, "Why waste your breath? Go home! It's not just Eden, it's the whole of the old guard that's now crept back, and we did nothing. For 11 years, there's not even been a murmur of protest. Till now. But when it's too late."
Eden Must Go by Martin Worth, with Charles Simpson as Stephen Pym and Keith Drinkle as Alan Wicks.
A few years ago, I took action myself. Stupid though it was. But before that, I didn't think it was up to me. I was little more than a schoolboy when I came up to Cambridge, in 1945. Most of the others here were men, and I mean men. They'd fought in the war. One of them I knew had drifted in an open dinghy for days and days at sea, after the fall of Crete, while I was at my cosy public school in Shropshire, playing cricket.
Well played, Pym, well played.
I just scored 50 in a house match, and I was only 15. When I was out, I was greeted by Markham. He was captain of school cricket.
Well done, Pym, congratulations. It won't be long before you're captain of cricket yourself.
I glowed with delight. Markham was my hero. But this was his last term. If I'd thought about it, I'd have known he was going to the war. But all I ever thought about then was one day making the school cricket 11. I never managed it, though 3 years later I did become head of my house, as Markham had been. It was Victory in Europe Day. The school was playing a team of old boys, only too thankful to have come through the war, I imagine. But most of the spectators were gathered round a portable radio, trying to hear what was happening in Whitehall. The headmaster found me, bubbling with excitement, but with his eyes darting around as usual at everyone except who he was talking to.
Ah, spot of good news for you, boy. Good afternoon, Mrs. Mouncer. Glorious day.
Oh, yes, isn't it?
That scholarship you sat for. Glorious in every sense, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
You did it.
You've heard, sir.
Oh, well done.
Well held, Smith Major, well held. That is Smith, isn't it?
I've won a scholarship, sir.
Exhibition. Not quite the top award, but enough. It means you won't be called up, at any rate.
I was 18 last month, sir.
You'll get an exemption for this till you've taken your degree, at least. Good afternoon, Your Grace. Good to see you.
Headmaster.
I hope you don't intend going into the church like your father, Pym.
I'm doing physics, sir.
Oh, of course. Silly question.
At this moment, how wonderful Mr. Churchill has come out onto the ministerial
Trust the old man not to miss out on this.
He did win the war for us, sir.
There'll be a general election soon. I dare say the country will want to vote for the old war horse. But I hope not. You can't build a new world on gratitude. It'll be up to men like you, Pym.
Sir.
I say, there's Smith Major down there on the boundary. Sorry, Smith. I thought it was you who took that splendid catch just now.
It was Johnston, sir.
At Cambridge, you'll be one of the intellectual elite, able to influence and shape the future. That's the least you can do for your schoolmates who got killed.
Sir.
Ah. There's Markham over there. Do you know, I think he's recognized you.
Markham's here, is he really, sir? Where?
Coming over to us now. Do you know what, Pym? You'll be the first school leaver in 4 years to whom I shall be happy to say goodbye.
Hello there, Pym. Why aren't you playing out there? I thought you'd be captain of school cricket by now.
He's more to do than run around with the flanneled fools, Markham. He's just won a major exhibition in physics to Cambridge University.
Oh, congratulations. Well played. Tell you what, Pym, could you do me a favour?
Yeah.
Will you wheel me over to the pavilion, would you? I don't think I can get this chariot up the steps on my own.
Three months later, the Japanese were knocked out too, with an atom bomb. And we thought it was wonderful. War itself had been destroyed. Well, with weapons like that, not even another Hitler would dare risk it again. They were exciting days. The Atlantic Charter, the United Nations, solemn undertakings never to attack one another except in self-defense. And soon we had a Labour government, too. With such a huge majority, it didn't look as if the Tories would ever get power again. Even the class war seemed to have ended through all the camaraderie of the war years. That Philip Markham had lost both his legs in the war that I'd just managed to escape wasn't on my mind at all when I arrived at St. Edward's in October 1945. One of the college porters showed me to my rooms, a tubby little man in a bowler hat.
You're in here, Mr. Pym.
I felt really grown up. That was the first time in my life I'd been addressed as Mister.
This is your sitting room, sir. And very comfortable it was at one time, too. Well, we only got the Americans out 6 weeks ago. Intelligence officers. Intelligence. Give me monkeys. What happened to the previous furniture? Not even Mr. Makins knows.
Who's Mr. Makins?
The head porter. It's only thanks to him you got furniture at all. You'll get to know Mr. Makins while you're here. Now, your gas ring's over there. Now, groceries you buy at the buttery once you've deposited your ration book there. Dinner in all is at 7:30. Now, you won't need a gown there tonight, but once term starts, it's obligatory.
Where do I get a gown?
Well, I'd go to Jessop's in Pudding Cake Lane if I were you. Right. Tell them Dawkins of St. Edward's sent you, and they'll give you a good price. Now, your bedroom's through here.
I sent a trunk off last week. Luggage in advance.
Here in the bedroom, sir. Safely delivered. Now, for your ablutionary purposes, your jug and basin are on the washstand. Shaving water's brought each morning by the bedmaker.
Who?
Well, she has her own key and lets herself in between 7 and 7:30. You do shave, sir, don't you?
Almost every other day. But she doesn't need to make my bed. I can do that myself. We all learn to make our own beds at school.
She doesn't really come to make your bed.
What?
More to make sure you're the only one in it. Right, Mr. Dawkins? I'm Alan Wicks. My billet's across the landing.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Pym.
Pym?
Anything else you need to know, I'm sure you'll learn from Mr. Wicks, sir.
Should I brief him on the college rules? All young gentlemen to be in by 10 p.m. for a start.
There's only a small fine if you're not.
Tuppence after 10, threepence after 11, but after midnight it's 7 and 6, and your name sent to the senior tutor. Well, that's how it used to be, any road.
And still is, Mr. Wicks.
Oh, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pym.
Good afternoon.
The most cataclysmic war in the history of mankind, and the college carries on as if nothing had happened. Well, you have to hand it to them, don't you?
You've been a student here before?
At Oxford and Cambridge, we are undergraduates, Jim.
Pym.
Yes, I was up before the war. Up, you notice. From the Olympian heights of the senior universities, everywhere else is down.
You're from Yorkshire, aren't you?
And you can't get further down than that, lad. At least you couldn't in 1939. It'll be different this time round, though, with all the ex-servicemen here on government grants.
My father pays for me.
Yeah, mine's a railwayman in Bradford. Even nowadays, he doesn't approve of my being here. You can't help laughing.
Mine's a clergyman, a country vicar.
Yeah, what's your other room like? Can't be worse than mine.
Fortunately, I won an exhibition, so that helps a bit.
My God, it is worse. At least I've got coconut matting on my floor. They haven't even fitted you up with bookshelves. Come on, we'll go and tear a strip off the bursar.
Well, I was going to unpack.
Play your cards right, and you might have a better room to unpack in.
It's all right by me.
We'll call at the buttery afterwards and pick up some beer. Oh, so your dad's a godbotherer, is he? I'd like to meet him one day.
So, what's the drill then, Peter? Are we going to need an import license? Come in. Yes, they can definitely supply, provided we pay in dollars. Oh, would you? Soon as possible. Thanks a million. Bye. Sorry about that. Now, what...
We, wanted the bursar.
It's Alan, isn't it? I knew you were back. I saw your name on the list. Well, don't you remember me? Elizabeth Noble?
Oh, my supervisor's name is Noble.
He's my father, you remember?
This is Jim Stevens.
Stephen Pym, actually.
Alan and I met in 1940 at the last of the May Balls.
Don't suppose Tim even knows what a May Ball was.
It's Stephen, not Tim.
Bloody great tent in the quad, and the men kitted out like penguins. White tie and tails, truly. At least all that bullshit's been swept away now.
You and I enjoyed it.
Now, the thing is, Stephen is wondering if anything can be done about our rooms.
Not me.
He's not even been issued with bookshelves.
Well, actually, I don't have many books. I'm doing physics, not literature.
Brainy chap, this one. An exhibitioner.
I'm sure everyone my age must have won something, or he'd have been called up.
Well, that should keep the rest of us on our toes.
Are you the bursar, Miss Noble?
There must be bags of men here who haven't even opened a book for 5 years.
I'm just giving him a hand, filling in time since I got demobbed. I was in my last year at Girton when Alan and I met, just before I joined the WAFs. Alan was in the...
Do tell your father how much I'm looking forward to studying under him. I've just read his book on Milton. Can't wait to get stuck in. Tell him.
Yes, well, I'm sure he'll be glad
to. And while I'm here, do you think you could check if my grant's come through?
My dear, 1940 was a long time ago. And if he only saw you the one night...
We had the next day together, too. In fact, most of that week. One afternoon, by the river at Grantchester, we even contemplated going to a hotel.
Elizabeth!
Oh, Mother, I do believe you'd be shocked even now.
I know you're 26, and I suppose, in the war, if I think about it, even a nicely brought-up girl like you...
A what?
...must have found it very hard at times to keep her integrity.
Oh, I do love you. I thought for a moment you were going to say virginity.
Well, let's just say I'm not altogether sorry Mr. Wicks can't remember you.
He can remember me, but for reasons of his own, he doesn't want to.
Oh, that'll be your father.
Elizabeth!
We're in the drawing room, dear. How was your day?
Elizabeth, the bursar's been on to me. This furniture you want to order for new court. From Sweden, he said.
You can't get it here. They don't have the wood. It's going to mean an import licence, but I've got a friend at the Board of Trade who might fix that for us. We were colleagues at the Air Ministry.
Is there a problem, Edmund?
Apparently Mr. Makins has got to hear of it.
Oh, dear.
And since it was he who got the furniture there now...
God knows where from.
He has contacts in the second-hand trade, he told us. And to have it replaced so soon, after all the trouble...
Replaced by me is what really narks him. He doesn't approve of me as clerk to the bursar.
Well, you're not a member of the college, dear.
Bursar's assistants never are, Mother. Since they're the ones who do all the work, they're chosen on merit. At other colleges, anyway.
Whatever the practice elsewhere...
Of course, none of them are women.
No one appreciates more than Mr. Thompson all the help you're giving him, Elizabeth.
So when am I going to be paid for it, Dad?
Your administrative experience in the war is proving invaluable, he says.
Look, I know it's only till I sit the civil service exam, but that won't be for months yet.
So it's Thompson's idea that if he were to put it to the fellows that he was in need of secretarial assistance...
Secretarial?
Well, on paper, the salary would hardly be commensurate with what you're really doing, but as Thompson says, that could be made up in other ways.
You mean as long as I'm only there as a secretary, not even the head porter would object?
Oh, I'm sure no one would, dear.
This is 1945, Mother, not 25. During the war, I had men like Mr. Thompson serving under me.
St. Edward's College is not the Air Ministry, Elizabeth. Besides, in the exigencies of war...
Are you saying that I only got that posting because all the men were away flying bombers?
No.
Excuse me, I've got a Socialist Party meeting at Girton tonight. I must go to change.
Oh, dear. And I was trying to be so tactful, too.
I say, you don't happen to know which one of our masters up there is Dr. Noble, do you?
Sorry. The only one I know is Mr. Darcy, my supervisor. Ask Alan.
Don't say you want to switch to English, Alistair. Law not quite the cushy number you thought it was.
English I learned at my mother's knee, Alan. Whatever words of wisdom the old pedagogue is passing on to you...
I should be so lucky.
It's the fruits of his loins that more interest me.
You know, I had the highest expectations from his books, but it took...
What did you say? He's got a rather lovely daughter I got to know in the war. So I'm thinking I might perhaps call one day. Leave my card, at any rate.
Your what?
Visiting card.
Good Lord.
How did you come to know Elizabeth?
Why, do you know her too?
Chap uses visiting cards.
Pass the water, would you, Neville?
What?
In here. I may be disabled, but I'm not incontinent, old man.
The jug, you clot.
Oh, right.
She had a little outfit on the Isle of Wag when I first met her. I helped set it up for her. And later I got her posted near a home. My home.
You'd think the college would run to something better than stewed prunes for food, wouldn't you? Even these days.
Saw quite a bit of her after that. We were at the Air Ministry together.
You were in the RAF?
I was a temporary civil servant at the Treasury, on attachment to the Boys in Blue. Well, someone had to see they didn't go altogether wild with our money.
By dropping all those bombs, you mean?
Let's face it, they did overdo it a bit at times. I shudder to think what the bill for Dresden came to.
How did you manage it?
I'm sorry?
Consumptive? Conchy? Perhaps you only got one leg, like me.
If you mean how I managed to keep out of uniform, Neville, let's just say I had good connections.
You should take up rowing. Chap your size, get on to the boat club. You could take my place.
Yours?
They've given me the old thumbs down.
And damn it, you don't need legs to row. I told them I've more power in my arms than the rest of the eight put together. Ever done any acting, Neville? I joined the University Dramatic Society.
I played Henry V at school. Once more onto the beach, me old mates. Why, you think there are many parts for a one-legged veteran like me?
Well, I know of one, in a play that I want the society to put on.
Yeah.
It's all about a man left to die in the desert.
Sounds fun.
It is not a comedy. It's in verse. That's the way forward for theatre now. Poetic drama.
Really?
And now I come to think of it, there's a part for Elizabeth, too.
In the desert?
In the man's mind. That's where the play takes place. She's a hallucination, a mirage.
Does this fellow do nothing but just sit there and dream?
I wonder if she'd be interested.
Well, I'd want an action part myself.
What do you reckon, Alistair? You obviously knew her better than I did. She was just a virgin from Girton then, reading economics.
She got a start first.
Well, the good that would do her in the WAFs. What was her job when she wasn't sitting on your lap? Typist? Telephonist? Your driver, perhaps?
I never rated a driver, I'm afraid. And Elizabeth had her own.
She what?
She was officer commanding in Wegg. Admittedly a very small unit working on ciphers, very hush-hush.
Elizabeth was commissioned.
By the time she left the service, she was an acting squadron officer. How about you? NCO, were you?
He was a sergeant in the 8th Army.
Who told you that?
Oh, I'm sorry. You did. It's all you ever had told me.
Why doesn't somebody up there at that table say grace so we can all fall out?
Few of them have any academic motivation. For most of them, Darcy, we are little more than a rehabilitation centre. Somewhere they can learn to find their feet in the post-war world.
And there's one of them down there who'd have his work cut out to find one of his. Major Neville Hadley, ex-commander.
One of yours?
No, I'm glad to say he's not a physicist. He finds it hard enough, I understand, just to go through the motions of reading classics. Well, just because he won the DSO at Salerno, it doesn't mean he's capable of winning a degree at Cambridge University, does it?
No, but I suppose it does give him the right to try to.
May I suggest, Dr. Noble, that a senior fellow you thank the good Lord for what we have received and privately pray he'll come up with something more edible tomorrow?
Benedicat, Benedicata.
How are you getting on with ex-Sergeant Wicks, by the way? A state scholar in languages when he was up before.
A pity he didn't stick with them.
In 1941, he was picked up off a rowing boat in the aftermath of Crete, more dead than alive. A year later, he was one of Monty's desert rats. At Tobruk, he nearly had his head blown off by a mortar bomb. But some brain surgery soon fixed that, and the summer before last, he was back with the troops on the Normandy beaches on D-Day. How's he making out on the poetry of Milton?
Well, you seem to have made a close study of the man.
As admissions tutor, I've been through all their records. Mr. Wicks stands out a bit.
He's never talked to me about the war. I only wish he was as reticent on other subjects.
Giving you a hard time, is he?
He will argue, Darcy. The schoolboys come here to learn, to listen. Not your Mr. Wicks. At my lectures, he sits in judgment on me. He doesn't take notes, he takes evidence. Till suddenly down goes his pencil and he sits back, arms folded, as if nothing I have to say is likely to be worth noting at all. It's very unnerving.
Then he does this marvellous gesture. You know, with the gloves.
Oh, yes.
Great gloves. Dear.
You'll never get me on the stage, Alan.
You can still join the club.
Down goes the hand on your allegiance.
Neville, yeah? What are you drinking?
Neville's a member.
He's going to be in my play, if I can get it on.
You're not serious.
He's only sorry the part doesn't call for him to dance.
So, Alan's turning you into a thespian too, is he, Stephen?
Not me. Standing up anywhere at all in public would scare the life out of me.
You just have to hold them with a beady eye. Stare back.
That soon brings them to heel. I'll have a large gin and it if you can run to it, Alan.
Right, and two pints, please, Amanda.
Just a half for me.
With me, you drink pints, Stephen.
I wasn't intending to be with you at all tonight, Alan. I was going to that meeting about the debating society.
Oh, for a man too shy to stick his head above the parapet, a debating society is hardly...
You don't have to speak yourself. Just listen.
To clots like Alistair Gray sounding off about politics. You'll have much more fun here. Only, Amanda, just a drink here is worth the membership thing.
No, the beer's nothing special.
No, but the barmaid is. Don't you reckon, Stephen?
Well, you should have her in your play.
Unfortunately, she's not a member of the university.
I wouldn't mind being an actress. Mr. Ross over there says he could get me into film.
See, it's Elizabeth Noble I need for my play.
So why don't you ask her?
Well, as an ex-squadron officer at the Air Ministry, she's not likely to be interested in amateur theatricals. Mm. She's probably at your debating society jaw tonight. Mm. Amanda, what are you doing Saturday night?
Working, of course. First uni, that small part.
You work every night here?
Except Tuesdays, why?
Tuesday will do. A party in my rooms. How about you, Neville?
Well, what floor are you on?
All right, Amanda.
I have to ask me dad.
Your dad? How old are you?
18.
Girls your age were called up in the war.
I know. Just my luck finished when it did.
I'll ask Laurence Olivier over there if you like.
Mr. Rossiter.
Ivor.
Ivor. Oh, and that scream after he puts out his eyes. Where did he dredge that up from?
Ivor.
And afterwards to have the cheek to do Mr. Puff, I ask him.
I'm asking you, Ivor. Tuesday night, my room's party. Amanda. Bring some booze, bring your friends.
Oh, Amanda. Oh, excuse me, sir. I just wanted to catch the eye of...
It's Ted Baines, isn't it?
Good, so help me.
Bloody hell.
So you got back to Blighty then? Well, look round for both of us.
Well, don't just stand there. This calls for a drink.
I can't come in here.
You bloody well will, and that is an order, Corporal. Set him up, Amanda. You'll never guess who this is.
He's my dad. That's who he is.
You're what?
I'm not through yet, Dad. Not for hours.
Well, I've just come to say I'll be a bit late tonight.
He doesn't think me safe to go home with me own.
First I knew you had a daughter.
Oh, I'm sure I told you at the time, sir.
You call me sir. Even in those days I was only Sarge. Now break it up, Ted. The war's over.
We're in the same outfit, we?
No. We just found ourselves holed up together once. He'll have a pint, Amanda.
You work in Cambridge now, do you?
Yes, sir.
And he's not your superior officer either. Stephen's no older than your daughter. To Stephen, the war was just a ration book.
I wouldn't say that.
What's your job, Ted?
Boilermaster at All Saints. I'm a college servant. 10:45, Amanda. Outside the service door as usual.
Look, Amanda's coming to a party on Tuesday, Ted. Come too. It's in my rooms at St. Edward's. I'll give her all the details.
I'll go if I want, Dad. I'm 18 now. Girls my age were called up in the war.
Well, as Mr. Wicks said, Amanda, the war's over now.
Ah, Dawkins. Is Mr. Makins about?
It's his night off, sir. Anything I can do?
This leaflet I've come across that seems to be circulating among the domestic staff. An invitation to join the union.
Oh, I wouldn't take no notice of that, Mr. Darcy. No one else is.
Couched in rather militant terms.
Oh, he's a right troublemaker, if you ask me. Boilerman at All Saints. An ex-corporal. I know his sort.
He's asking you to attend a meeting.
I'll give him an inch and they take a yard. They got Attlee. What more do they want? Comrade Starling? you won't find anyone from St. Edward's at his meeting. I promise you that, Mr. Darcy.
Pity. I'd rather like to be kept informed.
Sir?
Privately, discreetly, what exactly this Mr. Baines is up to.
Well, put like that.
I'd be most obliged, Dawkins. Thank you.
To have a working-class man like Ted call me sir was humiliating enough when I was here before. But I hadn't nearly died in his arms then, had I?
What?
Oh, he and mine. Shall we go over the wall tonight? Climb in. What do you say?
Died in his arms?
It was the Alistair Greys who occupied Cambridge last time. Even a parson's son like you would have felt awkward if I'd asked him out for a drink. You should have seen their faces when I turned up at their May ball.
What made you go?
Well, I just had my call-up papers. Thought I'd see the last of life among the knobs before being yanked back to where I belonged. In the ranks.
Come on, Alan.
But it's Alistair Grey who's the freak here now. Even Ted can see that much, sure.
Come on.
I'd rather climb in.
What? Even I can afford a threepenny fine.
But I don't have my gown.
Oh, Alan, why don't you ever remember?
Damn silly rule.
It's only to keep track of us when we're out in the town.
You'd think we were a bunch of school kids. Now, Neville has hammered in some spikes here somewhere.
Spikes?
so we can get up the wall.
Neville, with one leg?
Yeah, here we are. Look.
What? How does he do it?
Well, he leans against the wall, and he lets his crutches take his weight so he can get his foot onto this thing. Then, he heaves himself up, and standing on the piton, he lifts up the crutches so he can hook them over that old lamp bracket there. Unfortunately, we don't have his equipment.
You call his crutches equipment?
Well, I'm sure he does. I think I can reach it. Ah! Yes! Made it! Now, your turn. Step on the piton, and I'll take your hand.
If the proctors were to come along now,
they don't carry guns, Stephen.
All the same, if you're caught climbing
as
in,
it's... As those hefty porters they take with them on their rounds. Bulldogs, they call them. Bulldogs. What do they know about dogs?
All right. Last night, they caught an undergraduate who'd had a few too many outside the guild hall with a girl.
Well, how did they know he was an undergraduate? Ah, I suppose the silly sod was wearing his gown.
He refused to give his name and ran off.
And the bulldogs went after him?
Chased him all along Jesus Lane till they lost him. Do you know who he was? Dick Taylor. Hey! I've done it.
Colonel Taylor?
Yeah, who twice escaped from a German prisoner of war camp. Ooh. Now, how do we get down from here?
But how did they know who he was if he didn't give his name?
The girl told them.
Took her in, did they? Banged her up in a cell and made her talk.
Silly, she told them at once she was his wife. They've got a baby, too, in digs on Maid's Causeway. What I don't understand is why he didn't say who he was in the first place.
Why the hell should he?
Oh, this wall looks much higher from up here.
So, see it from below. Here goes.
Alan!
Now, it's your turn. Jump.
Alan, a light's gone on over there.
Afraid the guards in the chapel tower might spot you. Turn on the searchlights. Jump, ma'am. Quick before they shoot. Just remember to roll over when you touch the ground.
God.
Well done. Good show.
Why are we doing this?
For just the same reason Colonel Taylor told the bulldogs to stuff it. Papers? Not on your Nelly. I'm my own man in this country, and I am damned if I am going to have Porter Dawkins take my name for coming in late without a gown.
Well, I suppose it can be said we had a quorum. Six of us there, at any rate.
Seven, including me. If you do, that is.
Of course you're included, Elizabeth.
Well, I'm not even a member of the college. Just the daughter of one of the fellows, who were trying to convince me that a woman's place is in the home anyway.
How about that for our first subject for debate?
Will you speak for or against the motion, Alistair?
If I'm to judge the fair sex by you, Elizabeth, I'd definitely speak against it. Unless you were in my home, of course.
Alistair, if we have to work together again, if only to get this debating society launched, it's to be just as it was at the Air Ministry, right? Strictly business. However much you try to make it otherwise.
Hello! A moonlight stroll, is it?
Where did you two spring from?
We've just climbed in. How does the meeting go?
We made a start, only Elizabeth says we have to admit women.
I met a bloke on you in the water night, Elizabeth.
Unfortunately, there are none in the college.
So we open it to the whole university, Alistair. Good night, all.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm having a party Tuesday night. Will you come?
Am I asked to?
What?
What do you say, Elizabeth? Shall we accept?
Shall we?
Elizabeth!
I'll see she's there, all right, Alan. You never know. I might even be able to rustle up some wine.
And down they all went, flat on their faces behind the desks. All because a car had backfired outside.
Oh, it brings it home to one, doesn't it?
Suddenly, there seemed to be no one in the lecture room but me and three or four boys at the back. And I had to carry on as if nothing had happened. That friend of Elizabeth's, Wicks, was one of them.
Oh, I don't think they're really friends, dear. He can't even remember her, she says.
Wicks can't even remember when Milton was born. I keep telling him he must learn a little self-discipline if he is to get the first of which he is capable.
Is he that good?
Brain surgery hasn't done that young man any harm. On the contrary. Is there any more tea in the pot?
There's hot water flavoured with it, if that's what you mean.
I'll make some fresh.
Oh, you can't do that, Edmund.
Even I know how to make a cup of tea. Elizabeth, sit down. I'm just going to make some fresh tea.
Edmund, we can't get any more for a week.
Yes, dear.
Oh, he's no idea.
Don't worry, Mother. I'll smuggle you some over from the buttery.
This party you're going to tonight, is that Mr. Wicks? Yeah, your father seems to think quite highly of him. What does he mean to do when he goes down?
Become a writer, I think.
Oh, a bit bohemian, is he?
Not likely to be able to support a wife in the manner to which she's accustomed. Will you stop wanting to marry me off, Mother? I've got my own career, thank you. In the civil service, with any luck.
I really don't know what you've got against marriage. I was a lot younger than you when I married your father. Even if I did keep him waiting for over a year.
Did you?
I'd just taken my degree. And rather like you, I thought I ought to make some use of it. But in the end, you see, I did.
How?
Your father would never have been happy with a wife who wasn't at least approaching his intellectual equal.
Oh, Mother.
Winifred, there's no tea in the caddy.
I don't just darn his socks, you know. Coming, Edmund.
Okay, now, move!
The way!
Move!
It's on, Ivar.
Rupert, let go! Take the train.
I am. I could do myself a serious injury.
I suppose Alan's party was fairly typical of the way we entertained ourselves in those days.
Up the sheets, Terry!
I can manage the break room!
Not that it was usual for guests to make their entrance through the window.
Oh, hell!
Oh, read it!
Oh, you could have warned me, Lester. I'm not used to being anchorman in a tug of war.
There. Welcome aboard.
How long did it take?
Don't get up, Ivor, you fat...
20 seconds? Who needs this?
I'll fetch your sticks.
It's all right, Alan. Elizabeth's picked them up.
Elizabeth?
She's on her way up with them. And she wasn't the only spectator out there. Look, Neville. Huh? By the fountain. God himself.
What, the master?
God, I said. Mr. Makin.
So, where's Alistair then?
I'm not his keeper, Alan. I'm not even a close friend.
From what he's been saying.
A very unreliable source, believe you me.
Shooting a line, was he?
You should check your facts.
Yes, your father's always telling me that. As if it matters when Milton wrote his Ode to Melancholy. It's still a dead boring poem.
Keats wrote the Ode to Melancholy.
Get some more glasses, Stephen.
Il Penseroso, you're thinking of.
Oh, you're not going to recite to us, are you?
I don't remember.
Hence vain deluding joy.
Oh, you can be such a bore, Ivor.
But it didn't bother Ivor that not even the friend he'd brought along paid him any attention.
They've asked me to do Comus at King's in the summer. On the banks.
It was the kind of party where everyone talked, but nobody listened, except Amanda, who listened in bewilderment. Yes, Amanda had turned up all right, Dad's disapproval notwithstanding, but no one took a blind bit of notice of her.
Is there going to be any music?
I don't think Alan has a gramophone.
Oh, Alan, I absolutely loved your play.
I didn't know you'd read it.
Oh, he's on the committee.
But they turned it down. Loved it.
I was the one dissenting voice. Huh? I didn't think it was tripe. It had some very funny lines in it.
You've
thank
been
you.
Plan.
He wants you to act in it.
Now, as I
Neville
said,
and I are going to stage it anyway. I have the theatre ourselves.
Well, I'd rather do Henry V. I mean, I know the part. That's
where do you want the wine, Sergeant Wick?
Your black market contacts never let you down, do they, Alistair?
This is from the college cellar.
What?
Fear not, assistant bursar. I'm being charged a small fortune on my buttery bill for it. Bring me a corkscrew, Alan.
I don't think I have one.
As for the rabble of unruly monsters...
Oh, do put a sock in it, Ivor.
Yeah, shut up, you clot.
I thought we could recruit
you'll
them
be pleased
from the
to know, Elizabeth, I've hooked our big fish.
Our what?
For our first debate. Well, more of a minnow, really. But he'll do. The Honourable Member for Waverley.
I've got a bayonet. You think we could use that?
Good God, look.
Stephen, have you got a corkscrew?
Did you kill cherries with that, Alan?
Sabrina will make her entrance in a puff.
Waverley was your father's constituency, wasn't it, Alistair?
Your father was a Member of Parliament.
Till the ungrateful working classes turned him out 3 months ago.
Why, well, are there working classes in Waverley? Well, that's Suffolk, isn't it? The poor are always with us, Neville, even in the shires. Unfortunately, they can be so easily led astray these days.
Into battle, even.
Even I voted Labour this time.
Oh, good for you.
No, it seemed to make sense.
Isn't that just perfect for a punt, a sliding chariot?
I just thought, Alan, perhaps I have got a corkscrew.
Stephen, where are you going?
So when is this debate to be?
November the 5th.
My folks' night.
Well, I'm sure it'll go off with a bang, don't you, Elizabeth?
I wasn't aware we fixed a date last night.
It's the only night he can be spared from the House, he says. He can't wait. The first Labour member since the war to make his mark at Cambridge University. He's tickled pink. Of course, he's pink enough, really, anyway.
Can I come in?
Yes, of course. I'm looking for a scout knife I had. I'm sure it's got a corkscrew attachment.
Funny lot, aren't they?
What?
Mr. Wicks and his friends.
They're my friends too, Amanda.
Yours? There's no one there our age at all. May I see your bedroom through there? I've never been in one of the colleges before.
She was right. 3 weeks and I barely exchanged a word with anyone my own age at all. Well, why should I? What did I want with school kids when I'd men like Alan to go around with?
Not very cosy, is it? My room at home's nicer than this.
As for girls my age, I don't think I'd even been alone with one before. Certainly never kissed one. As I knew I could now. If I knew how one...
Found that corkscrew, have you?
No, but we'd better get back, Amanda.
Why? I'm sure they won't miss us. Don't think Mr. Rosters even noticed I was there. Do you have a girlfriend, Stephen?
Me?
Oh, look! Oh, there's Dad come to fetch me. Tell him you've not seen me.
What?
He'll murder me if he finds me here.
Well, so where does he think you are, then?
Mum said you'd tell him I'd gone to the cinema. Mum doesn't mind. Oh, please, Stephen. I'm not here.
All right. Oh, hello.
This is Alan Wicks's room, isn't it?
Yes.
Ted! You came after all. That's really great. Got the corkscrew, Stephen?
No, sorry.
Well, we'll just have to make do with the bayonet, then. Come on, Ted. Get filling.
I've not come to your party. I've come for my daughter.
She's not here. She never came.
Well, she was here a few minutes ago, Stephen.
The barmaid from the club.
Was that who it was?
She went home.
Never came, you said.
Well, I meant she left. Just now. I think she felt a bit, well, out of place.
Dead right she was. If the master knew you'd been entertaining the daughter of a college servant in your room...
Well, Tom, Ted, not even he's as quite behind the times as you are. Now, pour yourself a beer.
College servants don't drink with undergraduates either.
Now stop calling yourself a bloody servant. No one has servants anymore.
Unfortunately.
Won't drink with me. You did once, Ted. Her own piss, you remember?
She's definitely not here, Mr. Baines.
So if I were you, my man, I'd clear off.
He's not your man, Alistair.
Baines!
Sir!
My God! I'm surprised you don't salute him, too.
You've been told your daughter's not here. That should be enough for you, Baines.
Well, go on, Baines. Click your heels, about turn, quick march.
If that girl's not at home when I get back.
Ted! 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 What's got into you?
A few days in an open boat. I went through worse since.
Me too.
Picnic, that was.
On the Rhine. But if I bumped into any mate that I shared some of that with, I'd feel as close to him as I do to you.
I was trained as a fitter in the army.
And so would he, whether he was a duke or a dustman.
Comrades in arms.
They buried the class war in 1940, Ted.
Some funeral. I'm a skilled mechanic, but where do I end up when they've done with me? Eh? As you were, Baines. Boilerman. All saints. They think it enough just to give you your old job back.
But you didn't have to take it. There was plenty else you could have gone for and helped to get it too.
Oh, you always were a dreamer. Even on that tub. Gonna catch fish when the water ran out. Soon be picked up.
Well, we were in the end.
You even fancied a plane had spotted us when there wasn't even a bloody seagull in the sky. And that girl you were so soft on. Way out your class, you said, but still dreamt of marrying her one day. Ooh, is there honey still for tea?
What?
Oh, that's what you were muttering before you finally passed out. Or before I did, I can't remember.
Alan!
Just coming.
Is there honey still for tea? Well, you bet there is. For some. If you think the war's changed anything at all, Sarge, you've still got your head in the clouds now.
Bloody fool.
Alan, I think you ought to...
There are opportunities enough to get on these days, whatever he says.
Salt of the earth, that type. Backbone of the nation.
You say that.
I'll get him another job if it kills me.
A working man who knows his place.
I mean, what did we fight for if men like Baines can't better themselves?
To rid the world of Nazi tyranny.
He is a mechanic, not a college servant.
I do a pretty good Churchill, don't you think, Rupert?
My father could use a man like that. He'd make a damn good foreman.
I doubt if he'd want to be beholden to you for a job.
It would depend on what wages he was offered. Every man has his price, and I can guess what Baines' motto is. Look after number one. It's the same with all ex-servicemen.
Get out, Alistair.
Present company accepted, of course.
I said get out.
Was your father a member of Parliament, Alistair, at the time you were due for call-up? I remember you telling us you had good connections.
I don't mind admitting I look after number one myself. I expect you did your best too as well, even if it didn't altogether work out in your case.
On your way!
Alan!
I say!
Or you'll run me through with cold steel.
I might. I just might.
No need for melodrama, old boy.
Put that thing down, Alan.
That went out with Henry Irving.
Shove off, the lot of you!
Yes. Well, if someone would hand me my walking aids, I don't find it a problem going downstairs. Thank you very much, my dear.
I knew someone who lost both legs in the war, and I know he wasn't trying to look after number one.
It doesn't sound much like it.
Nor was Neville or Alan or even Ted Baines.
My dear boy, for every hero there are a dozen Skyvers. Don't go near the water, never volunteer. I'm all right, Jack. That's why this government won't last 2 years. The average working man cares only for what he can fiddle for himself.
Speak for yourself.
Something under the counter from the butcher, and a pair of nylons from the spiv round the corner, and who needs a new Jerusalem? Clem Attlee, they've got their head in the clouds.
Well, I'll say goodnight, Alan. Thanks for the party, if there ever was one, that is.
Why don't we all repair to my rooms? At least there I have something more effective than a pig sticker bayonet to open these bottles with.
Sounds a pretty good idea.
How about you, Ivor? When did you last taste a Chateau Latour 1929? I don't suppose Stephen has even seen a good bottle of wine.
I won't be coming myself, thank you.
No, you've something even tastier to sample in your room, haven't you? But Amanda's welcome, too, if you want to bring her along.
Amanda?
That's what I came to tell you just now.
Stephen said she'd gone home.
Bye, Alan. Wizard party.
She wanted me to say she'd not been here at all. That...
Oh, here she is now.
You told Ted she'd gone home.
Moving to my room.
So get her there, Stephen. I don't tell lies to Ted Baines. Get her home!
All right! God. Ivor says you want to get into films, darling. I may have some contacts there myself.
Alan thinks you ought to go home, Amanda.
As long as I'm back by 11, cinema's not out yet. Coming, Stephen? Come on.
Do you mind, Elizabeth? I want to work.
Why was Ted Baines quoting Rupert Brooke? I wouldn't have thought he knew that poem at all.
He doesn't.
Would I were in Grantchester, where you and I had an afternoon once.
That was in another country. And besides, the wench is dead.
Who? Me?
I was quoting myself. Marlowe. Now, excuse me, but I've got an essay to write for your father.
And the other night, sir, he was round here at the college making out his daughter was with one of the young gentlemen.
So you had to smuggle her out, I understand.
Mr. Gray called a taxi for her. Well, it was only just gone 10, and there was no call for a father to come kicking up a rumpus. There's a right way to do these things, Mr. Darcy. And he's been pushing them leaflets round again, too.
Has he now?
Mr. Makin says to take no notice, but you did ask to be kept informed, sir.
Come. Oh, yes, come in, Pym. We've just finished. Thank you, Dawkins. I'm much obliged to you. It does rather sound as if Mr. Baines should be encouraged to seek another job, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Baines, what's Dawkins been saying about him?
That if we don't watch out, he'll be leading all the college servants out on strike. Imagine.
You're not going to have him sacked because...
You told me the other day he was a train mechanic.
Well, according to Alan Wicks, Alan knows him very well.
There's an engineering firm at Bedford the college has some connections with.
I often wonder if there's anything the college does not have connections with.
It's a small enough firm, but about to be taken over by a very large one. It may well be that Mr. Baines would be more in his element there than as a college boiler man. Do you think you could introduce me to him sometime?
Well, I suppose, yes.
Good. Now, sit down, Pym. Professor Medlicott's been asking after you. Taking soundings, they call it. He's impressed by the grasp you've shown of his subject and wonders if you'd thought of specialising.
In nuclear physics?
For good or ill, the future of the world depends on it. You could have a say in that when you leave here.
I've got my national service to do that.
And who do you think will be running the world by then? Ted Baines or Alistair Gray?
What do you mean?
I mean... that if you want to make something worthwhile of your life, Pym, you can't afford to hang about.
Nuclear physicist? What, me? Get that. Still, whenever people said I was good at something, I always took them up on it. Well, it'd be their responsibility if they were wrong, wouldn't it? Not mine. Typical.
But what Ted Baines or Alistair had to do with it, I couldn't imagine. As for Darcy's interest in getting Ted a better job, that baffled me completely. But in those days, I was such an innocent, I thought the future of the world was decided by government. That's why I was so looking forward to our college debate, with no less a man than Jack Balderton, MP, as guest speaker. It took place in Hall. And despite the attractions of Guy Fawkes night outside, there was a pretty good turnout. Mainly because word had got around that Alistair was to appear in evening dress.
I've just seen him, Kevin. Boiled shirt, wing collar, the lot, honestly.
I spotted Elizabeth and sat down beside her.
Alan's not coming, I suppose.
He's rehearsing his play.
I thought the club had turned it down.
So he's putting it on himself.
Oh.
Have you heard this rumour about Alistair?
What, that he's wearing a dinner jacket?
I can't wait.
So's Jack Balderton.
That's absurd.
Well, they found it laid out for him in the guest room when he got here. Alistair hired it for him.
A Labour politician?
Yeah, it is a tradition of the society for the principal speakers to dress for the occasion. At least it was before the war.
Before the war, perhaps. Photographer, I seem to know him.
Well, probably he's a member of the college.
Bosses of the world unite!
Now we'll have something to represent a burnt-out truck centre stage, and you can be discovered beside it.
By whom?
When the curtain goes up, I mean.
Is it kids letting off those fireworks? I'd have thought children's parties would be over by now.
Well, it's beer-sottled undergraduates. Now, look, you're lying in some wreckage here and unable to move, right?
It gets on my nerves.
It's only fireworks, Neville.
Why can't I move? I've still got one leg. Even out crutches, I can move.
Look, you've not been in hospital. No one's even seen you since you were blown out of the truck. Now, look, let's get on, shall we? First speech, right?
Is there honey still for tea? Now, I don't think that's original, Alan. I've heard that before.
He's quoting a poem that he remembers. Rupert Brooke, the soldier dreamer, who died in bed while others rotted in his foreign field, as you've been left to rot in the desert.
For a man dying of thirst, his vocal cords are in pretty good shape. He needs to say all this before he snuffs
it. It's not a naturalistic play. For him, the only conscious reality is what he sees and hears in his mind.
It's bloody drafty in here.
It's a kaleidoscope of unrelated memories that gradually coalesce into some kind of beatific vision.
Why can't it happen at sea?
What?
On a raft? Or a lifeboat? Well, at least I could be seen to be doing something, even rowing, perhaps.
And how do you suggest we set that up? Flood the stage with water? Oh, for Christ's sake!
Only fireworks, Alan. Schoolboys having fun.
And if it were true, as my honourable friend opposite has suggested...
I'm not in the House of Commons yet, Mr. Boulder.
I'm sure you soon will be, Mr. Gray. But if it were true that the Americans wouldn't have dared cut off Lease Lend so abruptly if Churchill was still at number 10.
He wouldn't have let them. Yeah.
Then I can only say how glad I am that he is not there.
Shame!
What
shame!
Great Britain even further into debt. John Bull's pockets may be empty, but he is not so dependent on Uncle Sam that he can't still stand on his own 2 feet.
Well said. Hear, hear. That's right.
If this country is to prosper, as, mark my words, it will.
Not under socialism. Oh. Yeah.
We just have to tighten our belts and get down to it. It may well be that all we have to offer at the moment...
is blood, toil, tears and sweat.
...are more shortages, perhaps even more rationing.
It's beginning to sound like Churchill.
But the British working man is not downhearted. He knows that with men like Clem Attlee and Ernie Bevin at the helm, as resolute and determined as our great wartime leader, Mr. Churchill himself, we shall win the peace as we did the war.
Hear, hear! Bravo!
Bravo!
Oh,
I
thought he was terrific, didn't you?
Open up, porter! There's a knocking at the gate.
Now, there's a bell we ring somewhere.
Ha-ha-ha! Was it so late ere you went to bed that you do lie so late?
Gentlemen, ring the bell, Mr. Wick.
Ah, that's what I said!
Not now, Mr. Adler.
I'm sorry. The bell! It is an L that summons thee to heaven. Or to
Elizabeth, my fish.
Oh, Alan, you can hardly stand it.
I offered him my sticks, but he wouldn't take my beatific vision.
Oh, come on, Alan, I'll get you to bed.
To bed! To bed! There's a knocking at the gate.
I thought it was your own play you were rehearsing, not Shakespeare's.
You should have come to the debate with us. That was real-life drama.
I'd hardly say that, Stephen.
We won anyway.
Just.
Good night.
Oh, don't go! Come, come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not. Oh, but I see thee still. Beatrice, my beloved.
It's Elizabeth, not Beatrice. Now, come on, put your arm round my shoulder.
Bloody awful name for a heroine, anyway. She stands in paradise, at the top of the stairs, up from hell.
Well, you don't have to call her bloody Beatrice. Beatrice is the name for a cook.
Is she a character in his play?
A vision, a mirage. Does the clock strike 10 at 3?
You see, I've got one of the lines under my belt already. Only 800 or 900 more to go.
And neither of you is wearing your gowns. That'll have to be reported too, Mr. Hadley. Though I suppose one should make allowances on bonfire night.
On any night, I'd have thought. It's only a few months since Alan Wicks was in the Battle of the Rhine. It's not surprising he talks about hell.
I expect they'll get over it, miss.
Get over it? When did you ever see any fighting, Mr. Dawkins?
Not since the Battle of the Somme. Good night, Miss Noble.
I smell burning somewhere.
It's only the bonfire on Midsummer Common.
Find it fun, do they? Watching a man burn.
It's only an effigy. Come on, this way, Alan.
The primrose way.
What?
To the everlasting bonfire. Huh? Not that Shakespeare's Porter ever knew anything about hell, you know. Nor did Dante in the Inferno. People burning.
Mr. Gray!
He'd have mentioned a stench.
Who's that by the doorway?
Mr. Gray!
Oh, roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel.
Who's in charge around here? I want the police. Where's the nearest phone?
The Porter's Lodge. Why?
Was someone calling me?
Yes! Where the devil are you?
I'll fetch the porter.
Up here in my rooms. Why?
Come down! No! I'll come up to you! Up this staircase, is it?
Room 3! What's happened?
Oh, out to the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out.
Hello, hello. Hello, what are you doing here? I know you, don't I? Don't run away!
A girl? In the guest room?
Don't play the innocent with me, Mr. Gray. The light didn't work at the door.
I'm afraid the wiring in this place...
It worked all right earlier. So I had to find my way to the one by the bed. And as soon as I switched it on...
There she was in your bed.
Reaching out her arm to me as a flashlight goes off. Oh. A photographer. He was out before you could say knife, of course.
Well, of course.
The same young man who took pictures of me in the hall, was it, for some student newspaper, you said? Come in.
These are my rooms, Mr. Balderton.
I've brought Mr. Dawkins.
Leave this to me, Stephen.
May we inquire what occurred, sir?
He claims to have found a young lady in the guest room.
Lady? Who?
Some little tart a photographer had put there so he could take a compromising picture of me with her.
We'd better get along there at once.
She'll have cleared off by now, you idiot. Fetch that photographer.
Oh, of course. Where are Mr. Stainforth's rooms, Dawkins?
Well,
goodness me, this will be a big story for him, all right.
Story?
Oh, he's a stringer for the Daily Herald. Once he hears about this...
I'd better wake Mr. Makins.
Who?
The head porter.
I think we should wake the senior tutor. Perhaps even the master. There'll have to be a full public inquiry into this one.
Now, it doesn't have to be public.
Mr. Pym knows all about it, as it is. And judging by the windows flung open when you were heard in the quad just now, what... A member of Parliament with some tart, you said? In his bedroom at St. Edward's College while he was here as our guest? I should think poor Charlie will get sent down for this, don't you, Dawkins?
Just get that photograph off him.
Of course, he may deny being there at all. But whatever he makes of it afterwards, I'm quite sure the master will take a very dim view of
those pictures he took of me earlier. In these togs you've made me put on.
A dinner jacket?
Are they intended for the Herald too? Not even Ernie Bevin dresses up like a toff, and he's Foreign Secretary. You were just out to make a fool of me, weren't you?
I had thought it was in the Labour Party's interests to show that they, too, can be taken for gentlemen.
To show we're fit to rule, you mean? I've never worn an outfit like this in my life.
No, I dare say.
And frankly, I never expected to see your kind in it again, either. If I'd guessed for a moment what you were up to when you made me put it on...
Hmm?
Your father would never have played dirty like this. In his day, a Tory really was a gentleman.
What do you want us to do, sir? I can certainly ask Mr. Stainforth if he'd be so good as to step along here.
So good?
And I'm bound to put in a report on the incident anyway.
Be assured, Mr. Balderton, whatever justice you wish for, that you will get.
Of course I've heard about it, Stephen. Who hasn't by now? Alistair is revelling in this one.
Including his own part in it?
Bursar's office? Oh, I'm afraid not, Mr. Makins. He's with the senior tutor. Is there anything I can do? As his secretary? Very well, I'll ask him to get in touch. The porter's report was with the senior tutor by 9 o'clock. Stainforth was sent for at once.
Who is this Stainforth?
Well, he's in his last year with a job lined up for him on a national newspaper. So he told the senior tutor that if any credence at all is given to Balderton's absurd allegations...
Absurd?
He'll sue the college for libel. And since Balderton took the first train to London this morning without another word to anyone...
I can't believe Balderton's going to take this lying down.
From the washing of this dirty linen, even in the comparative privacy of a disciplinary hearing, enough could leak out that would do far more damage to him than anything Alistair or Stainforth stand to lose.
So Alistair's to get away with it. Oh, he should be sent down.
Have you any idea who the girl might have been? I have.
Who?
Amanda Baines.
What?
Alan thinks he saw her last night.
Alan was too drunk to see anything last night.
For which he came to apologise this morning, profusely. He blamed it on the fireworks and bonfires. But after you left him, he swears he saw Amanda running off across the quad.
I know Alistair took a fancy to her after Alan's party. Is this what he was plotting? He told her of a nightclub he knows in London, frequented by people from the film world. And always on the lookout for attractive hostesses.
So she'll be heading off for the bright lights now, will she?
Oh, I'm sure her father will put his foot down over that.
Unless Alistair squared him too. As he said at Alan's party, a man like Baines can be easily bought.
Now, if anyone's bought him, it's Paul Darcy.
Your tutor?
Yes, he was telling me the other day he could get him a job in an engineering firm at Bedford. He seems to think Baines is a troublemaker here.
Yeah, hardly of any concern to Paul Darcy, I'd have thought. Still, if Mr. Baines is to get another job, I don't suppose he'd mind if his daughter did too. Whatever she had to do for her supper last night.
Oh, trying to ruin a Labour MP?
MPs are just boss figures to men like Baines, along with judges and policemen and clerks of the food office. Politically, there's nothing to choose between them anyway, if Balderton's anything to go by.
He spoke very well last night.
We'll soon have a government as Tory as the Tories. Already people I know in Whitehall are saying that most senior ministers are learning, as they put it. At the Foreign Office, they did have a few problems trying to run Ernie Bevin, but they reckon they've got him house-trained now. And I think I'm hoping to join the civil service myself.
To try to alter things, perhaps?
Oh, let that be known, and I won't even be admitted to the club. Ted Baines told Alan the other night that the war's changed nothing at all. That certainly seems true in the corridors of power. And definitely in this college. Bursar's secretary speaking. What can I do for you, sir?
I can't tell you how depressed I was by the end of my first term. Ted Baines went to work in Bedford and Amanda in London, where Alistair told me he'd even found a cosy little flat for her. God, I was jealous. But I'd had my chance with Amanda and passed it up. And I couldn't expect to compete with a man of the world like Alistair. As for that squalid photograph which he still denied having taken, I waited to see what use he would make of it. The only good news was that Alan called off the production of his play. A very wise decision, I thought. But when I got back for the Lent term, it wasn't long before I heard he'd started another.
It's a love story, really. A speculation in verse, I'm calling it.
That's the title?
About the life of John Donne.
Who?
Who? Oh, the ignorance of you scientists. John Donne was a great metaphysical poet, a romantic lover in his youth, who had a way with the women, and ended up as Dean of St. Paul's. So what do you say to that? Well, in my play, he goes into retreat in a monastery.
It's set in a monastery?
In 1621.
Why don't you write about something you know, Alan?
You think I don't know? About the impotence of love among men, so brutalised there can only be lust.
Oh, I suppose if you can show its relevance
to... So you have to have some dream girl to fix your eyes on. Some Madonna. Even if it is only a pin-up on a barrack room wall.
Don't tell me there's a part for Elizabeth in this one, too.
Elizabeth?
As, the Madonna?
Have you seen Elizabeth since she got back from her weekend at Stoke Dabernon?
Oh, what?
48 hours of intensive grilling by the mandarins of the civil service. Her father told me all about it. In his day, he says, a written examination was enough.
How did she get on?
Well, according to Dr. Noble, she had better qualifications than most of the men. Well, as the college is always careful to keep its links with government in a state of good repair, I'm sure the old man can pull a few strings for her.
What does Elizabeth think her chances are?
Well, I expect she'll soon hear.
Well, haven't you asked her?
If she flunks it, I suppose she'll get married and live happily ever after with someone. I think her mother has her eye on Alistair Gray.
You know very well Elizabeth can't stand him.
Have you heard? He's been adopted as Conservative candidate in his father's old constituency.
Why do you always keep her at a distance? Easier to worship, then, is she?
Elizabeth means nothing to me.
So why is she always in your plays, then?
A few days together, at a time we never expected to see each other again. A passing romance.
I don't think it altogether passed for her.
Jack it in, Stephen.
Or even you.
Now listen. Life began for me on May the 8th last summer, get it? Before that, I just don't want to know.
Elizabeth included?
Everything's tainted. Even childhood memories. It's just so much shit.
Why don't any of you ever talk about the war?
Stephen, if you don't mind, I've a lot of work to do.
You're all the same, carrying on as if you weren't even there.
There's nothing to say.
Of course there is. You just bottled it up.
Look, you can't describe the indescribable. And who wants to? It's over and done with, and God willing, nothing like it will ever happen again.
Well, I'm not so sure of that. You should have heard Alistair at the Union last night.
Oh, so it's the university talking shop now, is it?
Even in the College Society, he very nearly won that debate last term. He was tub-thumping then about the need to keep Britain strong.
I'm sure the Russians must be quaking in their shoes.
And last night he was laying into Russia as if the Red Menace, as he called it, was another Nazi Germany on the march.
There's no comparison.
So why weren't you there to say so? There were no ex-servicemen in the hall at all, so Alastair got a standing ovation.
Good luck to him.
Are you really prepared to leave everything you fought for in his hands?
Who's on the soapbox now, eh? Anyway, even Alistair must know that after Hiroshima, another war is unthinkable.
Not if yours is the only country to have an atom bomb.
Stephen, I want to work.
Keep ahead of the Russians, and people like Alistair wouldn't hesitate to drop one if they thought it would advance British interests.
My country, right or wrong? Even without atom bombs, nobody thinks that way anymore.
Well, that's not what Paul Darcy says.
Whatever he says, Alistair does not run this country.
But he knows how to stir people up. And that's what the world is all about these days, Mr. Darcy says. Mass manipulation. Condition the people through all the techniques we learnt in the war, and they'll jump whichever way their puppet masters want. Look at Ted Baines. Hmm? Do you know he's become a shop steward at that factory he's gone to in Bedford?
What? The working man who knows his place. Mm. That should teach Alistair a lesson.
Well, I'm sure Alistair would call him a communist.
Well, I doubt if Ted has the brains to know what communism is.
So what? Raise a banner saying, up the revolution, and Ted'll get his men to fall into line, whatever it's in aid of. Just as Alistair can get his to march behind a banner saying, oh, out with the Reds. They both need an enemy to frighten their followers with. As Paul Darcy says...
Your tutor spends an awful lot of time talking politics.
If the militants get hold of the unions and there are enough Ted Baines around to follow them, they could bring this country to its knees. And the Alistair Greys would love it. It would give them the excuse they want to take over and run things their way again. And if at the same time they've got a really big stick to wave over Russia,
what do you expect me to do about it, God's sake?
I don't know. But perhaps a bit more than write a play about a 17th century priest who's in love with the Virgin Mary.
All this time I've been talking to you, more and more demonstrators have been gathering for their march to the Guildhall. Now they're setting off. Would I have been with them at their age, marching behind a banner? But there weren't any banners then, were there, Alan? Were there? Perhaps if there had been... Oh, what the hell? I don't suppose you even know what's going on now, do you? That it's been left to these kids to take on Alistair Gray. He's an MP himself now. And as he was down here last night to speak at the Union, he grabbed the opportunity to stage a pro-government rally of his own. But we should never have allowed him to get this far. He was elected to Parliament within a year of his leaving Cambridge, in the by-election that followed when Jack Balderton resigned on grounds of ill health.
that he really stepped down because of an unfortunate photograph that had been received anonymously at Transport House, Alistair told me himself.
And now he's been photographed with that frightful con man, Sidney Stanley, we've been reading about. Bribery and corruption at the Board of Trade. Well, what do you expect from this lot?
Our tribunal's going to look into that. Attlee set it up himself.
No smoke without fire.
What made Stanley think poor Jack Balderton could be of any use to him anyway?
A word in his ear.
It was probably you who got their picture taken as well.
Ends justify means, Stephen.
Only in your book.
My dear boy, you're such an innocent.
That would have been in October 1948, when I happened to run into Alistair one day in London. A lot had happened to us all by then. That summer, Alan and I had both taken our final exams, and both knew we'd done pretty well. Alan especially.
Even Dr. Leavis thinks you're not altogether a fool, Alan.
Oh, praise indeed. But that could count against me in some quarters. Aren't Leavisites supposed to be just a little bit unsound?
Oh, a modicum of eccentricity is permitted in the senior combination, no? Not your problem.
So what is?
Oh, here's Stephen. Doesn't he look pretty?
Properly dressed for the occasion, am I? As young gentlemen should be at a May ball. How does it feel, Alan? Alistair would be proud of us both.
Well, at least the thing fits me this time.
Does it bring back memories? This bloody great tent in the quad you never thought to see again?
It's probably the very same one.
Almost every college that summer was having its May ball again. Clothes rationing had been eased, and with the arrival of Dior's new look, girls could dress attractively at last. And didn't they make the most of it? What did they care if Russia had blockaded Berlin and that within a month American bombers laden with atom bombs would be on their way to their bases in England? As Elizabeth said when Alan went to fetch some drinks.
I wonder how many of those girls on the dance floor are hoping to be proposed to tonight.
You think that's all they want?
It's all that's on offer. It was only in 1940 we had a glimpse of freedom.
You seem very bitter.
My parents had a lunch guest today. Sir Charles Cunningham. The man who turned me down for the civil service.
Oh, did he remember you?
Well, he pretended to, even if he did only see me for 5 minutes at Stoke Dabernon. But you know what? He was astounded to hear I wasn't married. An attractive girl like you, my dear. Whatever are the young men thinking of? And I'd always assumed the reason I didn't get in was because they'd somehow winkled out my political views.
You saying it was because you're a woman?
Oh, they wouldn't even say that themselves, Stephen, but it's there in their minds all the same. Embedded, only to be removed in time of war.
You know, they've even roped in Dawkins to serve behind the bar. You should have seen his face when I asked for a beer.
Oh, Alan, you can't afford to put up blacks like that tonight.
There you are. I'll just get my glass. Hang on.
Have you heard that he might be offered something here? I don't think it'll happen, but Alan has set his heart on it.
On what?
Well, even my father thinks he's got a fairly astute mind, which, coming from him, means he thinks he's a bloody genius.
Are you talking about a fellowship?
I know the faculty think they can use him.
And Alan wants it?
Well, why not? It'd give him plenty of time for his writing.
Those wretched poetic dramas of his.
Well,
oh, there are more important things to do, Elizabeth. Anyway, I can't see Alan passing round the port in the senior common room, can
you? Nor can the fellows, I think. That's the problem. What, ex-Sergeant Wicks?
He wouldn't hold that against him, surely.
No, not put like that, but it's there, embedded. Not quite one of us, I think, senior tutor.
I know it was silly to let it annoy me, but it did. I still had hopes that men like Alan would wake up to what was happening in the world. Of course, there weren't many ex-servicemen left by then. More and more schoolboys like me had arrived each year to take their place. As Dr. Noble might have said, the college would soon be back to normal. I went outside to get a breath of air. I was so irritated. Paul Darcy hailed me.
Hello, Pym. Looking for your partner?
I don't have one, actually. She cried off this morning. Said she wasn't feeling well.
Bad luck.
Yes, only I saw her this afternoon by the river when I was watching the bumps. On the towpath with a man from King's, I know. I'd even introduced them.
Frailty, thy name is woman.
Anyway, I'll be called up for national service soon. Can't wait to get out into the real world at last. Perhaps even see some action. Do you think they might send me to Malaya?
Between you and me, I don't think they'll be sending you anywhere. You've obviously not heard yet, have you?
Heard what?
Modar are after you.
for their research unit here.
Modar?
But I was asked to make recommendations. You were top of my list.
Modar is Ministry of Defense Atomic Weapons.
Yes. They'll expect you to sign the Official Secrets Act.
No.
I imagine they think you could be more used to your country there than marching round among the rubber trees taking pot shots at communist guerrillas. And you wouldn't want to be doing that anyway.
I would.
A left-winger like you.
That's not the point. If it was research for atomic power stations, perhaps. Well, that's how I justified specialising when you first suggested it. But not weapons. I'm not interested, Mr. Darcy. Not me.
I was quite stunned. I went back to the Marquis to find Alan. On the way, I met Neville coming out with Alistair.
So, what will you bet then, Alistair? 10 quid?
100 if you like.
Ha, done!
I had no idea where they were off to, but just the sight of Neville Hadley on his crutches reminded me of Philip Markham and all the other men who'd fought in the war while I was playing cricket at school. I'd so wanted to be one of them myself, to get some service in, perhaps even see some fighting. I looked round for Alan, but he was on the dance floor with Elizabeth.
Do you think I'm in with a chance, Elizabeth? God knows what I'll do otherwise.
We're dancing now, Alan. These diamonds.
Outside this place, what have I got to offer? An English degree means bugger all out there.
Where's everyone going? What's happening?
I have to tell you to come down, Mr. Hadley.
He's quite safe holding onto that rope. More strength in his arms than the whole college boat put together, he says.
Go on, Neville, you're doing fine.
Neville Hadley, auditioning for the Master Builder by the look of it.
But that rope he's climbing, how did that get up there?
Well, they fixed it to the top of the tower for him.
Mr. Makins, I have something to say.
What's he trying to prove?
For a man who scaled the cliffs under fire at Salerno, I dare say the Chapel Tower presents no problems.
Presumably he had two legs then, Mr. Darcy.
Only to start with.
Elizabeth.
Oh! Neville!
It's only a gargoyle.
14th century, that tower. They could do a lot of damage up there.
Elizabeth.
What's that he's got in his head?
A chamber pot.
Elizabeth, I want to ask you something.
He's going to crown St. Edward with it.
He's almost there!
Oh. Elizabeth!
You mean he's going to put it on that statue by the pinnacle? How about he'd have to let go of the rope?
Elizabeth!
He'll only need one hand to take it off with.
Yes, Alan, what is it?
Will you marry me?
What?
Please, will you?
He can't quite reach it.
Oh.
Yes, he can!
Yeah.
He's done it!
Why have you stopped playing?
I want to play too.
Come on, let's go. They're all coming back.
Okay.
Play, will you?
One,
two, that's right,
one,
everyone.
Two, three.
Nothing we can do out there. Come on, let's do the hokey coast.
And they even went on with the dance.
Hardly the fault of anyone there that a member of the college chose to kill himself in that ostentatious way.
Oh, yes, what frightfully bad form.
Guests were still arriving when it happened, and they'd paid a lot of money for their tickets. What have you come to see me about, Pim? Have you had that offer from Modar?
Elizabeth Noble told me that Alan Wicks proposed to her last night, while they were watching Neville on the Chapel Tower, just before he jumped.
Did she say yes?
I was too shocked by his sense of timing to ask. If she did, I dare say it'll improve his chances of a fellowship if he's to be Dr. Noble's son-in-law. Come to think of it, that's probably why I asked her.
So he could marry into the college?
For the last 3 years, he's hardly even been out with her. Why is he so scared of the outside world?
Why do you expect so much of the ex-servicemen? They did their bit in the war, I'd have thought. If anyone's to save the world now, they probably think it should be men like you.
Me?
The ones who might yet have been in action with them if the bell hadn't rung just in time. Especially those who feel guilty about that.
Up to me to shape the future. What, the debt I owe my schoolmates who got killed? My headmaster said that to me once.
That boy you thought so much of at your school, who lost both his legs?
Philip Markham.
What's he doing now?
I've no idea. I haven't asked.
Haven't liked to?
What can I do, Mr. Darcy? I'm no public speaker, not even a writer.
I'm far too shy to take a stand on anything.
That sounds rather cowardly to me.
Save the world? I certainly wouldn't be doing much towards that if I take this job in armaments research you've put me up for. Quite the reverse.
With any luck, the Russians will soon catch up with us, and once both sides have the bomb, we can breathe again. No one will dare think of using it then.
In that case, I'd do better to go and work for the Russians.
No, careful, Stephen. A remark like that could land you in the tower. Fortunately, if anyone's asked to give you a clean bill of health on security grounds, it'll probably be me.
Why do you want me to take this job?
If you really care about what happened to Philip Markham, and stop expecting others to step out of line when you're not prepared to do so yourself...
Yes?
I just have a hunch that at Modar you may find an opportunity presents itself one day to put your idealism to practical use.
I didn't know then what he meant, but I took the job all the same, and I'd certainly taken his point about not expecting men like Alan to do anything. He never did get a fellowship, despite his marriage to Elizabeth. A junior lectureship, yes, and some tutorial work to help out Dr. Noble. Elizabeth got a job with the city council in the welfare department. And in the flat they had near the college, Alan continued to turn out his verse plays that no one ever wanted to produce. On the day they got married, the Russians exploded their first atom bomb, to the surprise and alarm of the whole Western world. Britain never managed it till 3 years later. But by then I was committed. For a while, I really did think I was doing something for world peace. But it's not just Britain who's gone to war today. Russia has invaded Hungary, both for no other reason than to protect their own selfish interests. And Alan thought nationalism was dead. What price the Atlantic Charter now, Alan?
The scrupulous care exercised by Allied air forces in selecting targets.
Just what we used to hear every night in the war, the cool voice of God to report that the Allies, not Britain and France, mind, but the Allies, have had to rid the world yet again of another Satan.
Aircraft made assaults on radar installations and coastal...
Are you listening to this news bulletin, Alan? Might is right after all, you see. You went through your inferno for nothing.
An RAF Hastings aircraft... and urged the Egyptian population to accept the Allied proposals on the canal. An Allied communique quotes the leaflets as saying, "Remember, we have the might to attain our objective, and we shall use all of it."
Elizabeth?
Yes, I'm listening to the news.
Either accept the Allied proposals or accept the consequences...
That kid, Trevor. You know, the state scholarship lad from Durham.
Alan, I was listening to that.
I've been going through his latest essay. Brilliant.
Alan, there's a war going on in Egypt.
I've set all my hopes on him as a pupil. Intellectually, he'll justify them too. But all he wanted to do this afternoon was to get off to the Guild Hall.
Oh, good for him. There are plenty of others who put aside their essays for the time being.
You don't understand.
Listen to them out there in the street.
Trevor doesn't want to march with that shower. He wants to be at the Guild Hall to cheer Alistair Gray.
We know what came of appeasement in 1938. Hitler just laughed at us. As the Egyptian dictator would now if we let him get away with this. Who does he think he is, this Nasser?
It's beyond belief. A working class lad, born into an age where at last we recognise that all men are equal. All nations have the same rights, however small. If he'd not won a scholarship here, he'd have been doing his national service, he said, and proud to be. On the beaches of Port Said for Queen and Country.
I suppose he's not the only one either, or Alistair wouldn't have an audience out there. How old is he?
Just 18. Oh. His father was killed at Dunkirk. Of course, he can't remember him. He was only 3 at the time. But his mum keeps his photo on the mantelpiece, lest we forget. So for his sake, the boy feels inspired to fall in behind the colours. He gave his life that we may live.
In his father's case, he did.
But this is not a war to save civilization.
You needn't tell me that.
Only they make it sound as if it is. And even a bright lad like Trevor can be made to believe it. What did we do to make them so malleable, so easily led?
What didn't we do to prevent it?
Established a bridgehead, have we? As though it were a position in a game of chess. Like the one in Normandy we established, wading towards machine guns we'd been told in our briefing wouldn't even be there. Port Said. I was on my way to Egypt myself once. Dying of thirst in a rowing boat with Ted Baines. It's as if you've got a football stuck in your gob and somebody's drilling round and round in your brain. And Ted becomes a clock, and suddenly it's you in the boat, Elizabeth, as trees grow out of the sea.
Darling.
Girls. Girls picked up in Algiers for a packet of fags. The whole platoon could have them. And you wonder why I need fantasies. The smell of burning flesh when you stumble over bodies of children in a school your artillery have just set on fire and you barely even notice, let alone care.
Alan, you...
But why tell you? It's Trevor I ought to have told. Only he'd never have stopped to listen.
Here they come. NASA's pals demonstrating their right to free speech while others are being asked to die for it. Let's give them a big cheer, shall we?
I'd go to the Guildhall myself if I thought I'd get a hearing. But we'd just end up throwing tomatoes.
Stephen always warned you to do something. It's too late now.
Stephen? What did he ever do? For all his talk, he goes off and makes bombs.
He came round here this afternoon. He asked if he could borrow your tape recorder.
Tape recorder? Whatever for?
Well, he didn't say, but he said he'd bring it back this evening. He was very agitated. Not about this Suez business, about Russia moving in on Hungary. He even tried to justify it. You'd almost think Stephen was a communist.
When I started this tape, I didn't know who it would be for. I just felt the need to record the story, as I see it, of everything that happened since I left school, to try and explain why I did what I did. Which I now realize was mainly because of you, Alan. So the tape is for you. I'll drop it round to you on my way to the police station. I know you'll think me naive to have gone along with everything Paul Darcy told me, but I've always needed someone to look up to, hadn't I? And he had a banner I could follow, Alan. You remember me saying how easily people can be made to march by anyone skilled in mass manipulation techniques? Well, that only shocked me, I'm afraid, because I knew how easily I could fall into line myself. But I didn't belong in Alistair's camp, nor in Ted Baines either. And sadly, you'd no intention of carrying a banner anywhere. Of course, there's no going back in this game. So it was in my interests to believe that the Hungarian Rising was no more than the work of counter-revolutionaries egged on by American agents. But for Russia to send in her tanks... Ends justify means, is what Darcy told me this morning. Alistair's philosophy. So they're all the same. And in my case, it meant that the lies they told me were justified if they kept me working for them. That's why...
Hello, Stephen. Working, are you?
Who let you in? My landlady's out, and I'm sure the front door downstairs wasn't left on the latch. Even if it was, Paul, you can't...
I brought someone to see you. You remember Ted Baines? He's been one of us ever since you introduced him to me.
What do you want?
You seemed in such a state this morning, I was worried about you. As to what you might be thinking of doing. What are you doing, Stephen?
That's the second ambulance in the last 2 minutes. Do you think there was fighting at the Guildhall?
Well, I'm sure Alistair made certain he had police protection.
Some of them are coming back. Well, I don't think they're undergraduates either. I know one of them. She's on the switchboard at the office. I wouldn't have thought Sandra was politically minded.
I wish none of them were. A plague on all political parties, I say.
Well, knowing Sandra, she'd go along with that, all right. Especially if this is her first taste of them. She's only 16. Just a babe in arms during the war. But she's got such confidence. Oh, you should see the way she dresses. It's outrageous. She'd call you and me a couple of old squares.
Old what?
For wanting to put the clock back to what we all believed in 1945. And if she was out there today, maybe this could be the thing that's going to set them all off.
Doing what?
I don't know. Just generally making a nuisance of themselves till they get things their way for a change. Oh,
What are you looking for?
That play that I'm working on.
Oh, Alan, tear it up. All you were ever trying to do was get at something locked up so tight inside you couldn't even talk about it. But now you've found that you can. I'll tell you one thing for sure. You wouldn't catch Sandra going to one of your plays.
I don't suppose Sandra goes to the theatre at all.
Well, who can blame her? It's got nothing to say to her. Maybe when it has. If Sandra wants a theatre, she'll probably build one herself. And I'll tell you something else, Alan. She couldn't care less about that war of yours. It's just history.
Any chance of a cup of tea?
Even my father could do that much for himself.
What?
Never mind. It's not important. Not anymore. Oh, hello, Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth.
Come in. Is that our tape recorder? Well, Stephen borrowed it.
He got you to bring it back.
I'm afraid I have to tell you that Stephen's dead.
What?
He committed suicide. At least I suppose so. I don't think he could have fallen from that window up there in the attic by accident. His landlady found him when she came home, on the area steps down to the basement.
Who told you all this?
The police. When I called there to see him about an hour ago. Special branch were there too. Well, his work's top secret, you know. They were curious about the tape recorder when they saw it wasn't his. Did he say why he borrowed it?
No. It was just for the afternoon, he said.
Oh, we've all played it. Just to see if he left some message. But there's nothing on it.
The part of Stephen Pym was played by Charles Simpson, and Alan Wicks by Keith Drinkle. Elizabeth, Victoria Carling. Paul Darcy, Brett Usher. Alistair Gray, Andrew Wincott. Neville Hadley, Mark Straker. Ivor Rossiter, David Lerner. Rupert, Nicholas Murchie. Dr. Noble, Terence Edmund. Mrs. Noble, Anne Windsor. Dawkins, Ronald Herdman. Ted Baines, Matthew Long. Amanda, Cyril Jenkins. Jack Balderton, Eric Allen. Eden Must Go was written by Martin Worth and directed by Jane Morgan.